Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Joe Alaham in honor of the rabbi, the Skinner Mitzvot. Today's daf is being studied Le'inu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Le'inu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Kuf Bet Amud Rishon, right at the top line. The Mishnah Hazorek v'nizkar me'achar shiyatzta miyado kalta acher kalta kelev o shenisrefa patur. The first cases of the Mishnah all have the same deen. They're all patur, meaning patur from korban hatat. What are the cases? So we're talking about a person that threw something. For example, he threw a rock on Shabbat, and at the time that he threw it, he did not remember that it was Shabbat. So he's considered a shogeg at that point. V'nizkar. And then he remembered that it was Shabbat. Me'achar she'yatzta miyado. After it left his hand, before it landed, he remembered it was Shabbat. Again, to be hayav hotza'ah on Shabbat, or to be hayav throwing four amot in the shoot of Rabbim, you need an akira and an anaha. Here, the akira was done without a yidiyah of Shabbat, which means he was a shogeg regarding Shabbat, but before it landed, he remembered that it was Shabbat. The Mishnah says, kalta acher, and somebody else went and caught it. Which means that she explains it, that there was a second guy that ran up to the rock, and he caught it. So it's considered that the second guy made the hanaha, because by running up to catch it, he actively went out of his way to make the anaha. So therefore it would be considered a case of Shnayim Sha'asa'u, where the first fellow did the akira and the second fellow did the hanaha. So they were going to be patur. That's the way we're learning the Mishnah at this point. So again, the case is where one threw a rock, he remembered that it was Shabbat after it left his hand, and somebody else ran up and caught it. Kalta kelev, or let's say, same case, but a dog caught it. Now, since a dog's mouth is not the proper shiur for anaha, four tefachim by four tefachim, so the fellow will be patur as well. Or let's say before it landed, it burnt in midair, so also the fellow is going to be patur because there was no hanaha. Now the Mishnah gives a second case. Zarak la'asot habura. Person, let's place through a rock again in order to make a habura, to blemish or wound ben be'adam ben be'behema. So his intention was to make an isur on Shabbat. This case, the isur would be making a habura, making a wound in a man or an animal on Shabbat. V'nizkar, and then he remembered that it was Shabbat ad shelo na'asit habura, before the rock actually inflicted damage, patur. So again, it'll be patur. So this is a case where he started off shogeg, but he ended up mezid in the middle of the action. I said mezid, meaning he had a yidiyah, you remember that it was Shabbat. Now the Mishnah gives us a rule. Zeh aklal, this is the rule. Kol chaybe hata'ot, in order to be chayav korban hatat for chilul Shabbat, enam chayabim ad shetet techilatan v'sovan shegaga. Which means it has to be from the beginning of the melacha to the end of the melacha, b'shogeg, meaning an inadvertent action. Techilatan shegaga v'sofan zadon. But if let's say you started the action b'shogeg, and then in the middle of the action you became zadon, meaning you became aware, or the opposite, techilitat zadon. Or let's say you started the melacha with awareness, v'sofan shegaga, and in the middle of the melacha you forgot that it was Shabbat. Peturim, to be patur from a korban chatat. Had shetet techilatan v'sofan shegaga. So to be chayav again, the Mishnah reiterates, it has to be techilat shogeg and sofo shogeg. And now the Gemara is going to analyze the first case of our Mishnah. The first case of our Mishnah was if a person threw a rock on Shabbat and he remembered that it was Shabbat after it left his hand. And the Mishnah said, and somebody else caught it, meaning somebody else ran up and caught it. So we understood that what patur, because he did half a melacha, he did the akira, and the fellow that caught it did the hanacha. So the Gemara now makes an implication. It seems that he's only patur because somebody else caught it, implying that if it would have landed by itself, the fellow would be hayav. So the Gemara makes a nuke. Hanacha. If it would have landed in that case, hayav. It sounds like it would be hayav. How could that be? V'halo nizkar. He remembered that it was Shabbat before it landed. And we just learned at the end of the Mishnah, v'tnan, kol chaybe hata'ot enam chayabim ad shetet tehilatan v'sofan shegaga. To be hayav a korban chatat, it has to be a shogeg throughout the melacha. Here, before it landed, it wasn't a shogeg. He had a yediyah. So the implication of the Mishnah is problematic with the klal that the Mishnah set out for us for korban hatat. So Amar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana answers the question and says, Sefa, that klal of Tehilat Shogeg and Sofo Shogeg was said in a specific case. Atan lilichta umitna. It's talking about a special case of lichta umitna. Literally, mitna would be rope. Lichta is actually a piece of wood that's like in a U shape. Now what they did with a lichta umitna, just so you understand the practical usage of these items, the wood with its rope, that would be a certain mechanism that they would use to wrap around the donkey in order to hold barrels of wine on each side of it. It seems they had a certain U-shaped piece of wood on the back that they would strap some rope around it, and they were able to stick, let's say, wine between the straps on both sides of the animal. The rope is attached to this wood. So the Gemara wants to say the case that we're talking about, where we said the klal at the end of the Mishnah, that if you started off a shogeg, right, you threw the item and you were shogeg, you didn't know it was Shabbat, and before it landed, you realized it's Shabbat, that means you were mizid before it landed, and that's the case where we said jepatur. That's not in a regular case of throwing, because a regular case of throwing a rock, since it's not in your control after it leaves your hand, it doesn't matter what your da'at is after it leaves your hand. Since once you throw it, it's going to land wherever it lands, and it's not in your ability to stop it, the Gemara is assuming now da'at does not matter. You threw it b'shogeg at the when you threw it, finished. So you're going to be hayav a korban. What's the case when we said your patur, when you throw a type of item like this piece of wood, this lechta, that's attached to the string? Since it's in your ability, if you wanted to, you could pull the string back and bring the lechta back. So in such a case where you still have control, then we'll say if you threw it and you started off a shogeg, and then before it landed, you became a mezid, in that case we're going to say patur from hatat. Why? Because even after you threw it, you had the ability to pull it back. But in a regular case of zorek, of an evan, where once it leaves your hands, technically your involvement is over. There's no way you could retract that rock. So therefore, I don't care if you had a yediyah before it landed. The Gemara is assuming at this point you'll be hayav. It's very interesting. At this point, the Gemara is assuming yediyah in between the melacha only affects a case where it was in your control to stop the melacha yourself. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, you're right. Your implication on the first part of the Mishnah was correct. If it indeed landed the rock, and the second guy didn't go up and run up and catch it, you'll be hayav, even though you had a yediyah in between. Because yediyah is not going to make an effect on a case where you threw a rock that, once it left your hands, was out of your control. But the Mishnah's klal that said, if you started off shogeg and then had a yediyah, you'll be patur. That's about lichtau mitna. That's about an object that still it was bound to your hand. After you threw it, the rope was still by you. Were you able to pull it back? So the Gemara says, could that be the case? Lechta umetna ogdo beyado. How could you ever... never be hayav hotza'a in a case of nechta or mitna. You didn't let go, you didn't release it. You're still bottom line holding the rope. Since we learned early in the Masechet, to be hayav hotza'a, you must release it. So in this case, the Gemara is saying, even if, let's say, when he threw the piece of wood, the lechta, he was a shogeg at the release, and he remained a shogeg even after it landed, you're still not going to be hayav a korban. You know why? Ugdo b'yado. Because you're still really holding the rope. So that's not a fair case to ever say you're going to be hayav. So therefore, the Gemara is back to its question. The Gemara says, lechta o mitna, ugdo b'yado. Who? So the Gemara says, fine. Kegon shenitkaven la'asot habura. So I'll tell you what the case is. You're right, when we talked about this lichtau mitnah, this wood piece that's attached to the rope, we weren't talking about it in regards for hotza'ah. Because you won't be hayav hotza'ah in such a case, because really, you're still holding on to it. We were referring to it regarding to a case where the guy was mitkavin to make a habura. Let's say there was an animal. The guy picked up this piece of wood, and his intention was to throw it in order that it hits the animal, in order to make it, give it a habura. Nothing to do with hotza'ah. To make a wound on an animal, I don't care if I'm holding the other part of the string. The point is, you made the wound in the animal. And the case would be, I picked up the piece of wood, and I threw it. When it was still airborne, I remember that it was Shabbat. And then it hit the animal. In that case, it would be considered tehilat shogeg, so for mezid. And in that case, the Mishnah was giving me the klal to say, patur from hatat. Why? Because I had the ability, by holding the string, to pull it back myself. Therefore, that's when yidi'ah makes a difference. However, in the first case of the Mishnah, where I threw a rock, and once it leaves my hands, it's out of my control, yidi'ah will not play a factor, and therefore I'm going to be hayav hatat, even if I had a yidi'ah before it landed. And the cloud case, yeah, cloud, that was talking about lichtau mitna, where I was throwing it to make a wound in the animal. So the Gemara says,
why should it be hayav if it's out of your control?
Why do you want, because it's considered, no, it's considered your action is done once you released it. So therefore, since when you threw it, you were a shogeg, finished. Now whatever you're going to think about after is not going to affect anybody. It's out of, it's gone. Therefore, you threw it at the beginning with a shogeg thought, finished. That's what it is. It remains a shogeg. Because there's nothing you could do to take back that action. That's the Gemara's assumption at this point. So the Gemara says, and what's the case of Zeaklal? The case of Zeaklal is, where you have a lichtau mitna, which is in a way, a bottom line, an item where you can control, and we're talking about where you're throwing it in order to intend to hit an animal, let's say, or hit a person to make a habura, and before it hit, your da'at was realized, you know, with Shabbat, to there you're going to be patur from Korban Chatat. So the Gemara says, Hanami Tanina. That can't be the case that the Mishnah is trying to teach me from the Zeaklal, because it's explicitly written in the Mishnah that case. Hazorek la'asot habura, ben ba'adam, ben ba'behema, v'niskar ad shelo na'asit habura, patur. Which, if you're telling me that the last case of the Mishnah is coming to include a habura case, that was actually the second case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah would be redundant. So we're back to the question again. So again, the question being, how do you interpret our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says if you throw something, the first case, and somebody went and caught it, right? In that case, you're going to be patur. Mashma, if it just landed, you're going to be chayav, even though you had a yidi'ah in between. And the end of the Mishnah gave us a klal that said if you have a yidi'ah before the end of the melacha, you're patur. So how do you reconcile? Ela amarava demaravir. You know what the klal case in the Mishnah is? It's not talking about zorek, meaning a regular throwing of a stone. Because in that case you'll be chayav. It's not talking about a case where you threw a lichtau mitna in order to go damage an animal. Because in that case, that would be the second case of the Mishnah. You know what the third case of the Mishnah, the Zeaklal, is talking about? Ma'avir. A guy that's walking, he's carrying an item for Amot B'Rishut Rabim. And now, when a guy carries an item for Amot B'Rishut Rabim, he started off B'Shogeg, he didn't know it was Shabbat. He gets to three Amot, let's say, and all of a sudden he remembers Shabbat. In this case, since he has the ability to stop because he's in control of his walking, that case will say Tehilat Shogeg Besofo Mezid Patur. So we figured out a case of Ma'avir which will be the case where the klal of Tehillat Shogeg and Sofor Mezid is potenim from a Qurban. So the Gemara says, Ve'azeh klal diktani azirika ketani. So what are you talking? Because this Mishnah that brought the rule of Zeh klal, it's going on the cases of our Mishnah. The cases of our Mishnah were all Azorek. And now you come and tell me that when it says Zeh klal, it's talking about Ma'avir, walking, that doesn't make sense. It's a Dohak. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava is now going to give the final answer to this question. And he's going to say like this, Tarte Ketani. Instead of learning the Mishnah like we learned it as one case, learn the Mishnah as two cases. Meaning, till now we learned the case was, he threw it, the rock, he had a yidiyah after it left his hand, and then somebody else caught it. And that's why he's patur, because it's considered shtayim sha'asahu. Don't learn the case like that. Learn the case like Rava says, hazorek. And I read inside, the guy threw the rock, v'nizkar me'achar shi'atzta miyado, and he remembered after it left his hand, period. And it landed. And it landed. Forget about somebody else coming to catch it. It actually landed. And you know what? There'll be patur. Why? Because since he had a yidi'ah before the melakah was done, it's considered tehilato shogeg, the sofo mezid, which is patur. Which is Rabbah saying, there is no difference between whether you have control to stop it or not. Even if a case of zirika where it's not in your control to reverse the action, still you're going to be patur. And your implication of the Mishnah is wrong, because that's not the way to learn the Mishnah. You were learning the Mishnah till now, zorek. Then he had a yidiyah, and somebody else caught it. That's why you're patur mashma, only because somebody else caught it. But if it landed, you'll be hayav. No, the cases where you threw it, you had a yidiyah, and it landed. And you're going to be patur. You know why you're going to be patur? Because you started off shogeg, and you ended up bimizid. Finish. And the rule is, like the klal of the Mishnah ended up and said, zeh klal, kol shtahadato shogeg, v'sofo mezid, patur. And what's the second case of the Mishnah? Inameh. No, second case, lo niskar. Let's say the guy threw it, and he remained a shogeg even after it left his hands. However, vekalta acher, and somebody else ran up and caught it, he'll be patur, obviously, because that's the case of shnayim sha'asau. He made the akira, and somebody else ran up and made the hanaha. Or kalta kelev, or again, he was a shogeg, but the dog came and caught it, so therefore he did not make a hanacha in a place that's 4x4 tefachim, or shenisrefa, or he remained a shogeg, but it burnt in the air before it landed, patur. So therefore, we're learning the Mishnah that the first case is talking about where he had a yidiyah after it landed his hands, and then it landed on the ground, patur. The second case of the Mishnah, we could say that he threw it and he remained a shogeg. But why is he patur? Either because somebody else ran up and caught it, that's Naim Shah Sa'u, either it landed in the dog's mouth, which you don't have a hanaha 4x4 tefachim, or it burnt in midair. So those are the cases of the Mishnah. Rav Asher Amar, Rav Asher,
say it explicitly.
It does say, if you go back to our Mishnah, and you read it like this, Hazorek. Viniskar mehashi atzam yado, period. That's case one.
Okay, that I understood.
Next case, kalta acher, or if somebody else caught it, kalta acher, which is rabatur, it doesn't tell us about his yidiyah.
Yeah.
That already you have to read into the Mishnah based on the rules that we know from the Zeakla. Rav Asher comes along and gives another answer. Rav Asher amar chasure me'asara v'achi ketani. Rav Asher says, actually the Mishnah is missing some words, and therefore he adds some words to the Mishnah to make the Mishnah more palatable. Hazorek. And this will answer your question, because now he's going to add some words so it'll be more explicit. Hazorek v'nizkar me'achar shi'atzam yado. Again, a person threw the rock, and he remembered that it was Shabbat after it left his hand. Kalta acher, and somebody else came and caught it, or kalta kelev, or was caught by a dog, or shenisrefa patur. Hanacha, and the implication is going to be, if it landed, hayav, which we learned like we learned before, only because somebody else caught it, is he going to be patur. But if it landed, hayav, Oh, how could that be? Bamed devarim amurim. You know when that's talking about where you're going to be hayat? Shehazar v'shachach. And we're talking about a case where he threw it. Before it landed, he had yidi'av Shabbat. And before it landed, he was chozer v'shocheyach. Which means he had a knowledge, and then right after that, he forgot again, and then it landed. So therefore, it started off a shogeg, and ended up a shogeg. That case you're going to be hayav. Lo hazar v'shachach. But if you threw it, and you had a yidi'av Shabbat, and before it landed, your yidi'av Shabbat was still there and it landed, patur. Why? Shekol chaybe hataot yana chayamim achte tehlatam v'sovan shegaga. So therefore, Rav Asher is coming to tell us another chidush. He's agreeing that you could still be a shogeg even on items that are out of your control. He's just throwing in a chidush that you could learn the Mishnah even if you threw it and it landed. There's a case you could be hayav. How could you be hayav? Bottom line, you had a yidiah in between. Because we're talking about you had a yidiah and then you had a shikha. And therefore, before it landed, you were in the shikha state. And therefore, it's tehilato shogeg, v'sofo shogeg, and therefore you're going to be hayav. So again, he has to, you know, add that that condition to the case. Comes the Gemara and continues, itmar, shte amot b'shogeg, shte amot b'mezid, shte amot b'shogeg. A guy threw, in this case, 6 amot. The first 2 amot, the guy did not know it's Shabbat. The second 2 amot, he knew it was Shabbat. The last 2 amot, he did not know it's Shabbat. Which means, as the, let's say the rock is airborne, for the first 2 amot, the guy has no idea that it's Shabbat. When it reaches the 3rd and 4th amot, at that point he knows it's Shabbat. When it reaches the 5th and 6th amah, again he forgets that it's Shabbat. So now the Gemara wants to analyze, is this guy Hayav Hatat or not? But again, I read it inside. Itmar, Shte Amot B'Shogeg. The first 2 amot were done B'Shogeg. Shte Amot B'Mezid. The second 2 amot were done with an awareness. Shte Amot B'Shogeg. And then the third 2 amot was done B'Shogeg. Rabba Amar Patur. Rabba with a He says Patur. Rabba Amar Hayat. So we have a Malokit. Rabba and Rabba. Rabba Amar Patur. Rabba comes along and says Patur. Afilu le Rabban Gamliel. De Amar En Yidi'ah Lahatsi Shi'ur. Even according to Rabban Gamliel, that holds of a klal of En Yidi'ah Lahatsi Shi'ur. Let's review what that klal is. En Yidi'ah Lahatsi Shi'ur is. Rabban Gamliel has a shita like this. On Shabbat, let's say a person writes 2 letters. In one he'alim, in one lapse of not knowing it was Shabbat. And then after he writes the 2 letters, he remembers that it's Shabbat. Of course, he's chayav to bring 1 korban chatat, as we learned. But let's say you have a case like this. He wrote 1 letter, right? And after he wrote 1 letter, which is only really hatzi melacha, it's only half a melacha, at that point he had a yidiah. He remembered it's Shabbat. And then he forgot it was Shabbat and wrote the 2nd letter. According to Rabban Gamliel, he's going to be Hayav Hatat in this case when he finally remembers. Why? Because that Yidi'ah in between is called a Yidi'ah Lahatsi Shi'ur. And Rabban Gamliel holds En Yidi'ah Lahatsi Shi'ur. So that Yidi'ah is ineffective, so to speak. It's not there. And therefore the 1st letter and the 2nd letter combine to be hayav a korban. Again, he wrote 1 letter, and then he had a yidiah that it was Shabbat, then he forgot, and then he wrote the 2nd letter. So normally you'd say, well, he had a yidiah in between. The yidiah in between should split the 2 letters, and therefore he didn't write 2 letters in 1 lapse. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, en yidiah lahatzi shiur, and therefore you're going to be hayav. So Rava comes along and says, that in this case where you did 2 amot b'shogeg, 2 amot b'mezid, 2 amot b'shogeg, you're going to be patur. And even according to Rabban Gamliel, that says, en yidi'ah lahatzi shi'ur, and therefore normally the yidi'ah on a half a melacha, doesn't do anything, and therefore you'd be hayav. In this case, even Rabban Gamliel will agree that you're patur. Why? Gemara says, "Afilu Rabban Gamliel damar en yidi ala chatzis shur hatam over there by the writing the two letters." Because over there, by writing the two letters, bottom line, when you wrote the second letter, you are a shogeg. So therefore, you started off a shogeg, you ended off a shogeg, and therefore you'll be hayav korban chatan. And the yediyah in between the letters is a yediyah nechatzis shiur. It won't have any effect. However, malacha de bemezid lo. Here, when the melacha was done, at four amot. At the four amot state, you were a mezid. And therefore, you started off a shogeg, then you had a yidiyah, and at the time of the yidiyah, you finished the melacha. Therefore, it's a case of tehilat shogeg, so for mezid, and therefore you're going to be patur. So therefore, in this case, the yidiyah happens at a time that the melacha ended. And since the melacha ended in a mezid situation, because to be hayav hotza'ah, or to be hayav, yeah, hotza'ah, you only need four amot peshut rabim. And therefore, you started off two amot peshogeg, right? You had a yidi'ah at that point, but at that point of the yidi'ah, you finished the melacha b'mezid. Mashe'ekin, in the case of the letter, you wrote one letter. One letter is half a melacha. You had a yidiyah, and then you forgot again Shabbat, and you wrote the second letter. That's why you're going to be considered hayab. Because by the moment you wrote the second letter, you were a shogeg, and yidiyah in between is in yidiyah al-Hatishu. But here, the yidiyah was done at the end of the melacha, where you were indeed a mezid. So Rabba says, I say in this case, patur, even according to Rabban Gamliel, where the Gemara comes along and says, again, אפילו רבן גמליאל אמר אין ידיעה לחצי שיעור הטעם הוא דחי כגמר שיעור בשוגג כגמר אבל האחה תבמזיד לא. So the Gemara says, ובמאי. Well, let's analyze. What are we talking about over here? What's exactly the case where you did two amot and then two amot and two amot? אי בזורק. If you're telling me that the guy was a זורק, meaning he's throwing it, שוגגו. Bottom line, he should be still considered a שוגג. Why? Because the Gemara is assuming over here what we learned earlier, that when you throw something, since it's out of your control when you throw it, the Gemara is going back to that Sevara. Since once you throw it, it's out of your control to stop, so therefore you should be considered a shogeg regardless. Because since you threw it b'shogeg, and now you cannot stop the action, automatically should be hayav. Ela b'mahavir. So you have to say, we're talking about you actually walking. And since this is your ability to stop, right? You walk to Amot, then you walk another to Amot, another to Amot. Since you had the ability to stop at each stage, your Yidiyah will be able to affect that you started off Shogeg and ended up in Mezid. So again, at this point, the Gemara goes back to the Sevara that we learned earlier. Now, the Ba, that's the other opinion, Amar Hayav. He says, no. In this case, when you did two amot shogeg, two amot mezid, two amot shogeg, you're going to be hayav. Va'afidu l'rabbanan. And even according to Rabbanan, ta'amri yesh yidi'ah l'chatzi shi'ur. That the rabbis say that yidi'ah even breaks up half a shi'ur, which they hold by the writing case. If you wrote one letter, then you had a yidi'ah in between, then you forgot and wrote the second letter, you're patur. Because they hold that the yidiyah, there's no yesh yidiyah al hatsi shiur. That yidiyah is effective in al hatsi shiur. So in this case over here, bottom line, he had a yidiyah in between. So that should exempt him. Hakamim say, you know what? Even according to the banana, yesh yidiyah al hatsi shiur, in this case, they're going to be hayav. Why? Hatam hu debiyado. Because in the case of the writing the letters, he's in control to stop, not to write. And therefore the yidiyah is going to be effective. But over here, since it's out of his control, it doesn't matter his yidiyah. What's the case? If it's the way he's walking it, so therefore these rabbis are not arguing with each other. They both learned the case differently. One rabbi learned the case of two and two in Zorek, and one rabbi learned Mahavir. So therefore each one learned it according to the way he learned it. They came out with his conclusion, but they're really not arguing. Comes the Gemara further and says, Rabbah taught.
Zarak Venaka Befi HaKelev.
The person threw the item and it landed in the mouth of the dog. Or Befi HaKibshan, or it landed, let's say, in a furnace. Hayaf. It's going to be Hayaf. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ba'anantana, didn't we learn in our Mishnah? Kalta Aher, or Kalta Kelev, or Shneslefa Patur.
We learned clearly that if it was landed in the mouth of the dog or in the furnace, you're going to be patur.
Gemara says, Hatam delo mechaven.
Yeah, in our Mishnah, the reason why you're patur, because you didn't have kavanah for it to land, let's say, in the mouth of the dog. And therefore, when it lands in the mouth of the dog, it's not 4x4 tefachim, and therefore you'll be patur.
Hacha decha mechaven.
But here, where you say hayav, you wanted it to land in the mouth of the dog. Now, once you mashiv that spot, once you give credence or importance to that spot where you want it to land, even if it's less than 4x4 tefachim, it's considered a legitimate hanaha because you wanted it there. So Al Mishnah that said if you threw it in the kelev's mouth, patur, why? Because you didn't want it, you just threw it. It happened to land in the kelev's mouth. However, where you aimed, where you wanted the kelev's mouth, that you wanted the hanachat to be there, even if it's less than 4x4 tefachim, indeed you're going to be hayav. Comes the Gemara and says...
That would be different, though, if you threw it to his friend, though, because his friend would be doing the hanachat.
Correct, correct,
different than
correct, correct, correct. Let's say you just threw it over there, and you wanted it to land in the kelev's mouth, and the kelev actually did catch it.
Right.
Since you were machshid that spot, even if it's less than 4x4 tefachim, you can be hayav, which is a hadush of the Mishnah. That hashivut, which means giving credence to a spot, can give the spot a makom hashuv to be hayav. And the Gemara is going to prove this from another case. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Bai Bar Abaye, af ana nami tanina." We learned a similar concept in a Mishnah. Yesh ochel achila ahat. It's possible that a person could eat one item. He could eat a kezayit of one item. V'chayav aleha dalet hataot v'asham echad. And in one eating, he could be chayav four korban hatat and one korban asham. So altogether, five korbanot for one eating. What did he eat? Hatameh, the guy was tameh, she'achal chelif. He ate chelif, which is fat, which is not kosher, right? So that says you can't eat chelif. So he ate chelif. Vehu notar, it came from a korban that the time of eating the korban was expired, so therefore it's called notar. So that would be the second isur. Notar min amuktashim, it's notar from kodesh. Beyom kippurim, and he ate it on Yom Kippur. Now, and he ate it while he was tameh as well. So therefore, yehayav four korbanot plus a fifth for being mo'el. When somebody benefits from Hekdesh, you're hayav a special korban asham for being mu'el be'Hekdesh. So let's read Rashi to see the Dalet Hataot. It's four lines from the bottom. Actually, the one right before that. Achila achat, zayit echad. Dalet Hataot, mishum chelif, that's one. Mishum notar, that's two. Mishum achilat yom kippurim. Mishum tum'at haguf, because Baba, you were tameh at the time that you ate it. Ve'achal kodesh, right? And you ate kodesh when you were tameh. Ve'asham me'ilot. And you have to bring the asham me'ilot, da'afilu kohen. Which is, even if the guy's a kohen, he was not allowed to eat the chelev of the korban. Why? Because the chelev of the korban belongs on the mizbeach. So even the kohen can only eat the parts that are allotted to him. But if you're eating from the parts that belong in the mizbeach, that's considered mo'el be'ekdesh. So again, he ate chelev. He ate notar. He ate it on Kippur. He was tameh, so he ate kodesh when he was tameh, and he benefited from hekdesh because this item belongs on the mizbeach. This comes again, but further and says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Af imaita Shabbat veotzio befiv hayav. Rabbi Meir comes along and says, I give you an additional hatat. Let's say it was Shabbat Kippur, and he took the piece of chelev out in his mouth and carried it in the public domain in order to go eat it, you know, over there. So therefore, you're going to be hayav an additional hatat for chilul Shabbat. Obviously, the Bimir must hold that you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur.
that she points that out. That's why he had to add an additional one by saying he carried it out in his mouth on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, so the rabbis told him, Eno min Hashem, which means they said, you're right. We agree that if that happened, you'd be chayav an additional korban chatat for chilul Shabbat. But we were trying to figure out cases where you hayav from the same eating, which is that you're throwing in an additional item of carrying. We were discussing four just on the eating itself, on the one action of eating. Now you have to bring a korban chatat for a different shem, meaning according to you, you're going to bring four for the eating and one for the carrying. So the rabbi says, we agree with you in principle, but that's a different melacha. But now we have to analyze the bimir. How are you carrying this food? He said you were carrying the food, but you were holding the piece of chalev in your mouth. So the Gemara says, "Ve'amai ha in derech hotzah abekach." That's not the normal derech, the way you carry a piece of chalev. You don't carry it in your mouth and carry it out. And therefore, since it's not the normal way to carry it out, how could you be chayav? Ela kevan dekamechaven machashavto. Since bottom line, he wants it in his mouth, because his intent is what? That when he gets to the spot, he's going to swallow it. So he puts it in his mouth with kavanah. He wants to carry it out like that. So therefore, meshavyale makom, it's going to make it what? A spot where you're going to be considered chayav. Meaning, the fact that he wants it there makes it the derech, and therefore he can be chayav for carrying. For a normal guy, that might be unusual. But if the guy wants to carry it like that because he has a reason why he'd rather be in his mouth, for him now, his dad can make the spot derech. So say the same thing over when he throws it into the dog's mouth. Since it's coming, he wants it to land in the dog's mouth, even though the dog's mouth is less than 4x4 tefachim. He's able to make it a makom hashuv. Let's read the bottom line of Nashima Hashavto. But he wants to eat it on the road, and therefore he wants it in his mouth, so he's carrying it in the spot that he wants it. As she says, "V'achsheva leotzazu befiv." His machsheva can make this type of carrying normal, and therefore, just like you can make the carrying normal, you can make the spot where it lands also normal as well, even though it's less than 4x4 tefachim. Hadran alach hazorek. And now we begin the 12th perek of Masechet Shabbat, perek habone. Now we're going to discuss the melaka of boneh, which is building, and makeme patish, which would be adding final touches. The reason why the next perek discusses these two specific melakot, well, Tosfot writes on the top, sarich li ten ta'am, amai tani boneh ahal zrika v'hotza'ah. Tosfot says you have to give a reason for this. I mean, Tosfot doesn't give us the reason, but he does, pique our curiosity, why is it so? So the Tosfot Yom Tov in the Mishnah explains, because since we just discussed Hotzah, which is the last melacha, the 39th melacha, the two melachot right before Hotzah are, or the three melachot, are Bonen Soter and Makebe Patish. So therefore, we're going back now to the melachot that are right, neighboring the melachot of Hotzah. And the Mishnah says, Haboneh, a person that builds something, which is, that's one of the melachot, Boneh, Kama yibne v'yehayav, how much does he have to construct in order to be hayav? So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Haboneh kol shu, which is even a kol shu, the smallest amount, is considered binyan. And the Mishnah says, V'amisatet, misatet, and she says, either one of two things. If somebody squares off a stone after he quarried it from the quarry, now he squares it off to make it smooth, let's say, or according to another explanation, she means he's making haritzim. I mean, they used to make ridges in the rocks for design. So it says, V'amisatet, V'amake bepatish. Well, let's say somebody takes the hammer and he bangs with the hammer, which means that as she explains, what are you doing with this banging with the hammer? Let's say the rock is attached to the quarry, right? And it's a little more to be chiseled out, and you take the hammer and you give it the last blow, and now the rock falls off the quarry. So that's going to be considered the melacha of makeh bepatish. Actually, the Mishnah is discussing here two melachot. It starts off discussing boneh. Now, then it discusses misatet. Now we'll see in the Gemara, it's going to be actually machloket. What is misatet chayav? Is misatet a todah of boneh, or is it a todah of makim patish? But clearly makim patish, which is you take the hammer and you give the last blow in the quarry so the rock falls out, that is indeed hayav of makim patish, meaning the adding the final touches of quarrying it from the quarry. Ube ma'atzad. Ma'atzad would be whether you hit it with, let's say, an axe. So it doesn't matter if you use a hammer or an axe. Then the Mishnah says, ha-kodeyah kolshu hayav. What is kodeyah? That she says, nokev etzo even bekotel. Which means you make a hole in the wall where you place, let's say, a piece of wood. Now you put a peg in the wall, or you put a rock in the wall, so that would be considered kodeyah, and you're going to be hayav. Zeklal, this is the rule. Kol ha'oseh melacha. Anybody that does a melacha, for example, boneh, u'melachto mitkayemet, and his melacha is mitkayem, meaning it's a melacha that people leave it in that stage, which is considered finished. For, you know, for normal people, they leave the melacha in that stage. They don't add to it. B'Shabbat, and you did this melacha on Shabbat, hayav. You're going to be hayav, which means if you didn't finish the melacha yet, so you're not considered hayav. It's got to be where you did the melacha in a state where people will leave it like that without adding. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af ha-makeh b'kunas ala sadan b'sh'at melacha hayav. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, even if a person, let's say, takes the hammer, the kunas, and he bangs it on the sadan would be like the anvil, which means when the people used to work, every from time to time they would bang their hammer on the anvil. Why would they bang the hammer on the anvil? In order to smoothen out and make the head of the hammer flat. So therefore they're working on a certain piece of material, let's say, and then they would bang on the hammer. So he says, the banging of the, you did the melacha, let's say, you finished your work, and then you ended up, you just took the hammer for one last blow and banged it on the hammer, that's the makim patish. Why? Because now you fix the hammer by banging on the sadan. That she says, even though your melacha was not done on the work that you're involved in, the melacha was done on the utensil, the melacha was done on the hammer, the equipment, still, Rabban Gamliel says, you're going to be hayav. Comes the Gemara and says, kol shiu. You told me that the shiur of boneh is how much? A kol shiu. Even the smallest amount can be hayav boneh. The Gemara says, lemai hazya. Give me a scenario where you could do a kol shiu, which is the minimum amount that could be constructive. You know, what benefit could you have with a binyan of a kol shiu? So Amar Rav Yirmiyah said, sheken ani hofer guma latzni yagba pirutotav. An ani in his house sometimes digs the smallest hole in order to hide his money there. Now we learned in the house, when you make a hole in the ground, it's not chodesh, because a person does not plow in his house, it's going to be considered boneh, especially in this case where it's constructed, where he wants to make the hole in order to store things in there. So then we found the case where boneh, even on the most minimal amount, can be hayav. Now the Gemara says, dekevateka b'mishkan. Now where did we find such minimal boneh in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, sheken tofre yiriot. The guys that were sewing the yiriot, the curtains of the Mishkan, hofrin guma. They used to dig a little hole in the ground, in order to hide their little needles so they don't get lost. So therefore you see that there was binyan kol shiu in the Mishkan. Now comes the Gemara and says, Abaye Amar, keban de mishtacheh lo avdehacheh. Abaye says, no, they weren't doing that in the Mishkan, because by placing metal needles in the ground, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be mishtacheh, they're going to rust. And therefore, that cannot be the binyan kol shiu that was in the Mishkan. So we're back to the question. Where do we find binyan kol shiu? Gemara says, Ela sheken ani oseh pitpute kira ketana leshafot alea kedera ketana. An ani, he makes a small little kira. Kira would be like a little oven, or a furnace that he needs to cook his little pot on. So how does he make the furnace? he takes the kira, which is the oven, and he makes a little tripod, and he places it under the kira in order that he can place on top of the kira a little pot. So making that small little tripod, that's called pitpute kira. The tripod that he puts under the small little kira, l'shafot ala kedera ketera, so he can place a small little kira, a little pot of the ani on top of it. Now where did you find such a thing in the Mishkan? The kevatega be Mishkan. Mibashle sammanim. We learned that they used to boil the sammanim, the herbs, in order to make paint. So he says like this. Let's say in the Mishkan, they made a certain amount of paint, right? And then let's say they were short. They didn't make the right amount. Now they have a little more dyeing that they need to do. So he says, in order to paint the curtains, shehasra melachtan, well, let's say they were short, they didn't have enough paint, osin pitpute kira kitana, they'll make this little tripod for the kira, l'shapot ale yore kitana, to put a little pot on top of it to make a small measure of paint. So therefore we found the case in the Mishkan where they had binyan kolchu. When they ran out of paint and they needed to make a small measure, so they didn't have to put it in a big pot. They needed a small little pot of paint. So therefore they would make a little tripod to hold the pot on top of it. And therefore you see binyan kolchu in the Mishkan. Gemara says, "Lavachaber Yaakov Amar, en aniyut bimkom ashirut." We don't have poverty in a place of wealth. Meaning, the Mishkan, they didn't make exact measures where they're going to run out of it. Which means, an Ani, he's cheap. So therefore, he measures exactly how much he needs. And therefore, not because he's cheap, because he's limited. So therefore, he makes exactly what he needs, so it's possible he runs out. But where they're building the Mishkan, they were rich. And therefore, you think they made exactly the amount they needed? They made vehoter. They had much more. There was leftovers. So then it's not possible to say that they ran out of paint. So the Gemara says, Ela sheken ba'alabayit sheyesh lo nekev bebirato. If you find a man, homeowner, that has, let's say, a hole in the wall of his house, in the area where he lives, where he wants to, you know, fix that hole, v'sotmo, and he seals it up. So they were sealing up the most minimal hole in the room where you live, so that's considered boneh. The kibatega be mishkan, where do we have that in the Mishkan? Sheken keresh, one of the beams of the Mishkan, shenaf labod darna. If let's say a worm bore a little hole through one of the pieces of wood of the Mishkan, what do they do? Matif letocha avar v'sotmo. So they would place lead in that hole in order to seal it. So we found in the Mishkan, binyan kolchu, where? By sealing up the kedashim that the worms bore a hole through it, and therefore you're going to be hayav even on binyan kolchu. Now, the Gemara felt it important to give us an example in the Mishkan. Now, even though with all the other melachot, we really didn't question where did you find this melacha in the Mishkan. Because here it's full far-fetched to think that binyan kol shehu can be hayav. So therefore the Gemara said, please tell us where in the Mishkan, you have to prove this to us. Which is where a small little binyan kol shehu can be significant. So therefore over here the Gemara went and had to give us an example where in the Mishkan we actually found binyan kol shehu. Amar Shemuel, Shemuel made a statement, Hamitzaded et ha'even hayav. What is mitzadeh de ta'evin? So Rashi says, on the first level of a building, right, on layer one, let's say where the foundation is, you take a rock, right, and you actually position it back and forth, mitzadeh, you're turning the rock from, let's say, side to side, or that it rests nicely on the ground. Now, even if you didn't put cement or tar, just positioning it on the ground, back and forth, that's called sidud eben. So he says you're going to be hayav. I mean, that's going to be considered boneh. Meti, the Gemara has a question on Shemuel. Echad noten et ha'eben. It says one guy placed a rock. Vehad noten et atit. And the other guy added the cement. Who's hayav? Hanoten et atit hayav. The guy that adds the cement, He's Hayab. So that's a question on Shmuel. You told me the guy that puts the rock is Hayab, but now we have a braita that says the guy that adds the cement is Hayab. Just putting the rock there is not considered Boneh because you didn't cement it. So we have a stira on a statement of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, V'letamech, according to you, the one that's asking the question, Ema Sefa, what are you going to do with the end of that braita? What does it say at the end of the braita? Rabbi Yosef Omer, V'afidu he'ela, V'eniyach al gabed dimush shel avanim chayav. The end of the braita says, even if you took the rock and you just placed it on top of the row of rocks, chayav. Which means from the end of the braita, it seems you don't even have to make sidud to be chayav. Sidud is you actually have to, you know, position the rock back and forth to get it in the ground. Here the braita is telling you even more lenient than Shmuel. Just drop the rock on one of the layers of stones and you hayav. So therefore, we have now three cases that we have to reconcile. We have Shmuel's case of sidud hayav. We have the case of the braita that says if you add the cement, you're going to be hayav. Then we got the third case of the braita where if you just drop the rock on the road, you're going to be hayav. So how do you reconcile these three cases? Kemaraz is Ela, Tlata, Binyane, Havu. There are three stages of building, and each one is different in its chayuv. Tata, you have the first row, mitziah, the middle row, ve'ilah, the top row. Tata, the bottom row, which is the foundation, ba'et sidudeh, ve'afra, which means the bottom row, since everything's on top of it, you don't have to cement it. You just need to actually position it so it sits firmly in the ground. And that's what Shmuel was saying. Mitzadet Evan, he was talking about the bottom row, where you just have to make tzidud, you have to position it back and forth. You don't need to put cement. And therefore you'll be hayav on the tzidud. Mitziah, the middle row, ba'etina. The middle rows need cement. And that's what the braita said, that the guy that just puts the rock on the middle row is not hayav, but the guy that cements the rock on the middle row will be hayav. Ella, the top row? The top row, you don't have to make sidud. You just have to drop the rock on top, and it sits firmly. Since you're not putting any rocks on top of it, so therefore you do not have to even put cement. So therefore there are three different stages of the build, and each one is going to be hayav according to what is done.
Each one is considered melachtom mitkayemet.
Correct. Each one is melachtom mitkayemet like that, exactly. Now we go back to our Mishnah. One of the cases of our Mishnah was misatet, which we learned either means squaring off the rock or making, you know, ridges of design on the rock itself. So given us misatet mishumai mihayev. What is misatet hayav? What are the two options? Is it boneh or is it makebe patish? What av melacha does this fall under? Which is it's a tolda of which melacha? So Gemara says, Rav Amar Mishum Boneh, Ushmoel Amar Mishum Makibe Patish. Okay, we have a Mahloket over here. Rav comes along and says, Boneh. What's Rav's logic? It seems that since you're doing this in order to put it in a binyan, and you're doing it to add it to a building, so you're mechayev for the larger picture. The larger picture, this rock is being fashioned for a binyan, so it's Boneh. And Shmuel said, no, Makibe Patish. What is Makibe Patish? On each ridge, which Rashi tells us, on each ridge is considered makibe patish. Because bottom line, each one stands alone. You finish this ridge, you're not going back to it. Like we learned earlier that the melachas mitkayemet like that. You don't go back and add to the ridge. Therefore, each haditz is like adding a final touch to the rock. So we have a stira. And that stira, we have a mahloket rav and shemuel. Next case, case number two. Ha'oseh nekev belul shel tanegolim. You have a chicken coop. Okay? Now the chicken coop usually has a hole on top in order to let out the air. So the Gemara says, a person on Shabbat goes and makes that hole on top of the chicken coop. Rav Amar Mishum Boneh. Rav said that's considered construction. You have the chicken coop, now you made like, looks like you made a window in the house. So you made this hole. Shmuel Amar Mishum Makebe Patish. Shmuel was saying, no, that's Makebe Patish. That's not considered Boneh. Because making a window, the purpose is to let air in and air out. Here, you're only doing it to let the air out, the dirty air out. You're not concerned about air going in. So that was not considered like being bonetri, but you're finishing off the chicken coop. Third case, ayil shufta bekofina demara. Shufta would be like a peg. Kofina demara would be the airspace of the handle of the hoe, the shovel. For example, when they would stick, let's say, the handle of a mara, of a hoe, into the hole, in order to fasten it there, there would be some airspace on the side. There'd be like a cavity there. So they need to fill up the cavity so it doesn't move around. So they put like pegs around the cavity, yeah, in order to tighten it so it doesn't pull out, it doesn't come out. So again, Ayil Shufta, he places the pegs, Bekufina, in the cavity of the mara, of the hoe. Rav Amar Mishum Boneh. Rav says again, that's considered Boneh, it's considered Boneh. Ushmael Amar Mishum Akev Patish. No, that's considered adding final touches. Now to give us, the Gemara gave us basically three cases where Rav and Shmuel argue on either it's Boneh or Makev Patish. Vitzericha. So now the Gemara says you need all three cases. Diyashmein and Kamait, if you just came in the first case. The first case was Mesatet, right? Making the ridges, let's say, on the rock. Yeah, in that case, Rav said, Yahaya Mishum Boneh. You know why? Mishum de Derech Binyan Bekach. Because when you're building a building, that's what you do to the rock. So therefore, it's part of the larger picture of Binyan. Aval Oseh Nekev Benushim Tanegolim. But a guy that makes, let's say, the hole on the Nekev Shetanegolim on the chicken coop, the end Derech Binyan Bekach. Because maybe you'll say, that's not considered Derech Binyan. Why? Because like I told you, because normally when you make a window, it's for two ways. It's to let air in and let air out. And in this case over here, you're really only doing it to let the air smell out. So you might think that's not considered Boneh. So that's why I have to say no. He holds even in this case, making the roof, the hole on top of the chicken coop, it's still considered Boneh. Emma Modelish, I would have thought that he's Modeh to Shmuel in the case of the chicken coop. That's why I have to say no. Chicken coop, Rav says, also Yahayav Mishum Boneh. V'yash minam beha, and if you just told me the case of the chicken coop, beha kamara mishum de dami lebinyan. And I would say in this case, it's domain of binyan. Why? Da'adha la'avira. And when he goes, bottom line, you're doing it for air. It's like making a window. In that case, I'll say it's boneh. Avas shufta bekufinat demara, but adding the pegs in the cavity of the hole, the end derech binyan bekat, you're not really boneh. So you're just finishing it off. Emma model is Shmuel. I might think that he agrees to Shmuel, that's my kev patish. Now, the yashvin and beha, and if you just came in the last case of the hole, I go the other way. Beha ka'amar Shmuel. I would say in this case, that's when Shmuel said it's Makim Patish. When you're adding the final touches to the hoe, but in the first two cases, where you're finishing off the rock for Binyan, and you're finishing off the chicken coop by making the hole on top, I might think that he agrees to Rav to say, Hayam Mishum Boneh Tziricha. And that's why we have to say that case as well. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.